Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. Yes, we are back for round number two. We are getting straight back into it, aren't we, Tommy? No, Bahrain didn't happen. We are now here for the second race weekend of the season. Practice is done and dusted for at least Friday. We've got one more, of course, Saturday. No, Thursday. It's Thursday today. It's Friday tomorrow. It's throwing me off so much, these changes of days, Tommy. But either way, we're going to cover practice today and the interesting Saudi Arabian circuit.
Indeed, yeah, another Thursday practice of Formula One, the last one for a while till Vegas at the end of the season, but it has definitely skewed up my brain and what day it is for the last 2 weeks.
Now, before we get into the chat, please check out our Patreon if you haven't already, where we give you a private Discord, an amazing community. You get bonus episodes of the podcast, and we are just about to record the infamous 2021 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And we've got some perhaps revised thoughts on that. So if you want to go check it out, join our Patreon. You get lots more benefits as well. And we'd love to see you there. Right, let's start with free practice one, where nothing really happened. But we're going to talk about it anyway. Max Verstappen was fastest. And we're thinking, uh-oh, here we go again, aren't we, Tommy? But it was ahead of Fernando Alonso and Sergio Perez. An uneventful session. But we were thinking, oh, here we go again. Max just a little bit ahead of everyone over one lap pace, and it's done and dusted, no hopium at all. Or were we wrong?
Or were we wrong? Yeah, Verstappen, yeah, no surprise really. Again, it's not a hugely representative session because completely different conditions, similar to Bahrain.
I feel like we should have a klaxon for free practice one that just goes, not representative, and just sirens, because
it's weird because FP1, you know, FP2 was more representative of the conditions we'll have for qualifying, but then they don't do the qualifying runs. So it's bizarre in that sense. And then FP3, they do the qualifying runs, but then that's not the same track conditions as you get for qualifying. So in a way, it keeps us guessing a little
quali.
They do a little quali in FP2,
Tommy.
Basically, Fernando Alonso is getting pole, is what you're saying.
Yeah, come on. Bro, they went 8 tenths quicker in free practice too. I know it's obviously cooler as well, but, you know, let's come on. The hype. Fernando Alonso's the GOAT. So, free practice one was just, yeah, nothing really happened. There was no big incidents as far as I can remember. And let's move to straight free practice two, shall we? Because that's the one we want to talk about. It's representative and it's exciting because Fernando Alonso was fastest with a 1:28.827. And I don't know what's going on, really. I know that Aston Martin were great last year, but they weren't great in Bahrain, at least in the race pace, over one lap. Honestly, if Formula One was a one-lap sport, we would have the greatest season of all time every single year by the looks of things. Because Aston Martin have now come to the forefront where we're going, oh, are they going to be on the front row?
Yeah, wouldn't have called that one at all for this race. We said in the last one that it seemed, unfortunately, that Aston Martin would be in a bit of no man's land with the fact that they were slower than the other top runners. Of course, they finished 9th and 10th in the last race and didn't look like they were going to do the same amazing kind of performance that they had at the start of last season. But yeah, Alonso's looking very good around here, which is exciting because I did not expect it to happen.
Question from Flo Circuit. Do you think Aston Martin has a real shot at the front row, or were they just glory laps? I felt like it was a really impressive lap. So I would try to kind of be more realistic, especially as the less Alonso stan in this particular pod. But I do genuinely think they've got some great pace over one lap. It does seem that way anyway. Alonso, half a second quicker than his teammate, which is about right, I would say, to what we tend to expect over a one lap performance. But then, you know, if we're going to actually use data of what we've seen this year and free practice and the amount of excitement and hope that we got after free practice two, where we thought Mercedes were back, and where did Mercedes finish in the race slash qualifying? Not even... Well, George Russell had a good qualifying, didn't he? But it wasn't anything... It was a little bit lower than what we expected. So again, Max Verstappen is ominously sitting there in P3. It's not like he's finishing 11th and they're 14th and 11th or something like that. But I think Aston Martin, it's a good start to the weekend. But let's not forget, teams will adjust, they will change, they will make setup changes into FP3 and obviously into qualifying to hone their car. And some teams might not have just found that sweet spot yet.
Yeah, I do hope this Aston Martin pace is real, because seeing Fernando at the front, of course, will make me very happy indeed. He was on the front row last year, albeit because of maybe Max's problem, and I actually led, didn't he, for a bit. And that, of course, is the controversial race that's in the headlines at the moment over the FIA's supposed tampering with. But that's a podcast for another day, perhaps, when there's... next week, perhaps, if there's more, we learn more from that, which is another fascinating off-track story that's just making us wish there was as much excitement on the track. But yeah, we've not really seen Ferrari, who are the team that we thought would be Red Bull's biggest challenges here. But then at the same time, Charles is very close to Max on that, you know, in fourth. And you don't think Max is going to be 0.3 off pole. So
Charles still there.
He's still there.
For a little Poland victory, please. I beg. Okay. So the big question, I think, coming from Leclerc 1644 is the circuit too dangerous, especially for the quali tomorrow? Now, this is probably the biggest talking point, I would say. Of course, there were refinements made for last year, widening certain corners. I know, Tommy, you know the exact corner numbers. I can't remember. Oh, I've said that, and I thought you found it before.
I have got it. It was turn 14. They basically pushed the walls out a bit, and another turn at turn 20, they moved the wall back.
So they made some refinements last year. I just still can't get out of my head that this is a circuit waiting for something absolutely horrendous to happen in terms of a crash. And I feel as though that will only be the time they implement serious change to this circuit. What I can't also get my head around is this is literally a purpose-built track. So changes can be made. They are not going around a city. They are not stuck in the middle of a landmark or anything like that. They could make these changes to make the circuit less dangerous. I know they're trying to make it a spectacle at the same time, so it is a balancing act. And yes, these are the best drivers in the world. But the feeling I always get watching onboards and seeing cars going slow everywhere. I think I watched Free Practice 2 especially, and on three separate occasions I went, ah, as I saw something potentially going to happen and then didn't. So maybe it's just me, but I feel like there are other people out there that feel just as uneasy when watching onboards, and just teams not being able to keep on top of everything. They can't keep on top of every single car and who's on a fast lap, who's on a slow lap, who was on a slow lap but has now decided to speed up. So many factors that I do think it is a dangerous circuit.
It is definitely. I watched this track and I think it is absolutely spectacular. It is incredible to watch. You think about Verstappen's lap in 2021 and the excitement of that. And I remember watching from even just FP2, I think there was an onboard of Lando, and he was going through the S's, if you like. And it is an unbelievable track. It looks quick. And one thing that I've thought for many years is that Formula One cars don't look quick enough on TV, and that's certainly not the case on this circuit, because it makes you sit back and go, wow, that looks incredible. But at the same time, I totally agree that this circuit has a disaster written all over it, because you know there are circuits that are a bit more open and you can see around the corners, but when they go through those really fast S's, you're just hoping that there's not another car dawdling on the track. And it's a weird situation where the race is probably the least dangerous part of the whole weekend. It's practice and particularly practice, where loads of cars are on track. This thing that I hate in Formula One, but it has to be done because that's how the cars work, that people are allowed to dawdle around really, really slowly. You know, they make all these safety things for Formula One, and yet when a car is going 300 kilometers an hour through high speed blind corners, it's not a problem that cars are allowed to do like 50 kilometers an hour round, like really slowly. And that is the thing that's going to cause an absolutely horrendous accident here, is the speed difference between two cars. We saw it in free practice too with Lewis Hamilton and Logan Sargeant, and that was so close to an absolute monster crash, because if Logan hits the back of Lewis there, the speed difference is so extreme that it bears to think what happened. It feels like it would be like, you know, like a Mark Webber at Valencia where he's flying into the air.
That's a Boomer reference right there.
I know, I'm sure some people Boomer references that, but it's 14 years ago. I'm so old, but it doesn't feel like it is. But yeah, that is where it's got the potential to be so dangerous. It's the speed difference and the fact that you can't see and you're left like unsighted.
Exactly. Q1 will also be rather interesting to watch tomorrow with the fact of, yeah, again, drivers having to be very much aware. But I guess practice is different, isn't it? Because they don't have these maximum times like they do in qualifying. So fingers crossed all the drivers get through tomorrow and this whole weekend unscathed, because, yeah, it does put me on edge a little bit watching them round here. It is amazing, but it's also waiting for something bad to happen, and I don't want to see that. No one wants to see that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
P1 Patreon member Sierra H. With the amount of near misses on track between drivers, what do you think needs to happen to avoid a major accident? So what would we actually do? I guess that's more the question, right? Like, we're saying it's too dangerous. What could we do? What could Saudi Arabia do in order to make this less dangerous? And it is the proximity of the walls, isn't it? It is how close they are to the track. But then they will argue, well, that will take away from the spectacle of what, you know, the Jeddah Corniche circuit is. So I'm sure this has been a back and forth over the last couple of years. I have no doubt about that. But the fact they've made some changes shows that we were all in agreement at some point that this circuit was too dangerous. I still think it is. You know, would taking back the walls necessarily take away from the whole spectacle? I don't know, because you still define the track limits. It just gives the drivers a little bit more leeway when it comes to finding another car that's slow or even just making a mistake. Like that corner, I don't know what turn it is, Tommy. I can't remember exactly what number.
Because they all look the same.
The curb, you know, the curb that's raised, and it's the fast one where Hamilton and Logan Sargeant had their potential incident. Anyway, that corner, yeah. I don't know what number it is. Like, even there, there's not a lot of room for error. And Mick Schumacher had an absolute horror crash there because he got up on the curb and then smashed into the wall at huge speed. Does it need to be that close? I don't know. I would say no. I don't think it would take away from the speed of the track if you still define the track limits as to what they are, but it would just give the drivers a little bit more room.
Yeah, because you could argue that Maggots and Becketts, for example, is still an absolutely spectacular corners, but it doesn't need to have the walls right on, you know, the lines of the circuit. So if you had that open space, it is a tough one, because I think the track is awesome to watch. You watch the onboards and it takes your breath away. It's incredible to watch. But and one thing that we do also complain about is too much runoff, and it's sort of like, you know, sanitizing these amazing corners. But it does just feel like you're always going into those corners just hoping that no one's going slower. And it just takes one slight misunderstanding, like Lewis Hamilton with Carlos Sainz, where he's like, oh, and then he's moved over. And yeah, it must be like incredibly anxious for the cars that are doing a slow lap. And, you know, the driver's safety almost is in the hands of their engineers, constantly giving them information, going, this car's coming around this corner. Like, they've got to be so, so unbelievably alert all the time. But yeah, you could move the walls back, but although that being said, the walls have been moved back, and I don't look at this circuit now and go, oh, it's way worse than it was in 2021. And also, is it safer? It obviously is to a point, but yeah, maybe they could do more of it. Although maybe it doesn't matter when we drive around the 20-story new circuit that is definitely not an ad from all the drivers.
No, not an ad at all, mate. They all just naturally wrote a tweet and posted it.
Did you see Valtteri Bottas got called out in the community notes on that one?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what did
it
say?
It just basically said, like, this is a paid advert and should specify.
Wow. But Alonso's didn't.
It might have done now. I've not actually checked, but I saw Bottas. Bottas has had it.
Unbelievable. Been caught out by community notes. Next question. P1 Patreon member Sophie. With the emphasis on enforcing track limits over the past year and the unique track limits by the pit entry, do you think we're going to see a lot of lap deletions during quali, looking at Lance's black and white flag? I don't know. It's not really a track that's necessarily a huge problem with track limits, just purely because the walls are essentially the track in a lot of ways. So you can't take too many liberties. Obviously, as Sophie mentions about the unique track limits by the pit entry, that's literally just don't cross over the white line. And I'm sure that they will do their very best. It's a very simple thing not to do. I guess
Logan
it's just
got
remembering.
Caught, didn't he, last year.
Yeah.
Stroll again. You famous last words, but you think they're just finding the limits in practice and they wouldn't be that silly to do it in qualifying.
But then I have put biggest flop Logan Sargeant this week, so he might do it back-to-back years, who knows. But I don't see it being track limits being too much of an issue. As I say, the walls kind of do that for the FIA in a lot of places.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Puffer Cheeks comes in with four teams in the top four in FP2. Are we in for a banger of a race? Right, I am taking the stance now of not getting excited by practice. We are in for the dullest race of all time. Max Verstappen is going to win by a lap from everybody else. It is going to be line astern, 20 cars finishing, no overtakes throughout the entire Grand Prix. How about that?
Well done. Now it's going to happen. Clip it and overlay it with the actual race. No, Fernando Alonso is going to win by a minute. And,
if he parks in the
cry.
Right grid spot. Because if he does get pole and isn't able to get in the right grid spot again, you might cry, mightn't you?
Maybe. I would if... Oh, come on, Fernando. Like that would be great if we had... It's funny they mentioned four teams in the top four. Which sounds a banger in theory, but if it was Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris and Russell or whatever, it would kind of almost be a normal grid. So you kind of need...
Alonso's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be similar to what it has been. I don't think Red Bull have the advantage that they have, but it looks like it's going to be exceptionally close between Aston Martin, Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren haven't really... Shown too much, no. We'll have to see. That is the beauty of qualifying, isn't it?
Hell,
and I quite like the keeping us guessing until quali, because then our hopes are up for a crazy, crazy one.
Yep, just like qualifying, baiting us all the time without fail. So yeah, that's it. Qualifying is tomorrow. We will be live on Twitch, as always, to witness a Charles Leclerc masterclass. So come and join us there. Matt P1 Tommy, if you don't follow us already. Tommy, what are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts is that, excited for quali tomorrow. And it's also the first race of F1 Academy, which I'm looking forward to seeing. And also there's going to be Formula 2 as well. So plenty of racing action tomorrow as well on a Friday, which is very novel indeed.
Yeah, lots of racing action. So look forward to that, and we'll see you very soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're Matt P1 Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.